Today on The Grave Talks, what causes paranormal activity? There's more to this world than meets the eye. Russ Bevan has always felt this way and dedicated much of his attention to understanding the vast spiritual world that surrounds us. Digging into the practice of investigating ghost spirit activity. Along the way, he would have many encounters, both positive and negative. Today, we examine the origins of paranormal energy and the many ways it can manifest. As we talk with Russ Bevan from Wednesbury Paranormal.
Well, really started for me when I started questioning reality itself. You know, I went straight down the rabbit hole when I was a teenager for my love for physics. And in relation to, because back then, you know, I'm mid-40s now, but back then that quantum mechanics and quantum theory and quantum computing was a fresh new category for people who were into physics to research. So really it began with UFOs and cryptoids, etc. But as my time went by, I found out I had a bit of a gift for spiritual gift in relation to not just mediumship. You know, I'm a clairsentient, clairaudient, but I had with my physics attributes, I had a speciality in ITC, so basically communication with the spirit world via radio, etc. So that's how I got into the paranormal realm. But I've always been a curious monkey in relation to always questioning everything that the mainstream put out there in mainstream sciences. You know, there's always two sides to every coin. So I went deep into conspiracy theories, etc. And I researched the Mandela effect and what the Mandela effect in relation to the connection with quantum theory, string theory. You know, all the standard UFO cover-ups, etc., from Roswell to Rendlesham. So all this grounding really has led to me being a kind of a multi-skilled in anything esoteric and the paranormal. So that's led me to my current role in relation to paranormal events organizer, article writer, lecturer in relation to most things paranormal say, but mainly spirits. I do a lot of spiritual cleansings in helping troubled families, etc., moving spirit on, or just the mental side of the spiritual realm. You know, helping children come to terms with what they're dealing with if they're getting spiritual activity in the homes, and trying to settle their mindsets so not to be scared. If there's anything dark or negative, obviously move that on with the help of the team, and giving them that support arm that they need as well. So that's, you know, there's that many areas that I have covered, but that's where I am now in relation to I wouldn't say it's a career, but my paranormal hobby and passion. So, yes, but that's kind of my grounding, Tony.
That's interesting. Tell me, obviously, you have this passion, this interest, and spark in many different ways. Did you ever have, before you really kind of jumped into investigating this stuff and helping families and helping people, did you ever have a paranormal experience that kind of, you know, I guess, sparked that even more or added fuel to the fire?
Totally, yeah, totally, for sure. You know, I think... you know, I've been over 30 years, I've been doing paranormal, etc. You know, I've had that many episodes. I think you become kind of immune to it. And the only thing that really, I never get scared. And, I didn't say I never got scared in my early days because it was all new. And I was still quite a sceptical believer. In certain ways, I still am a sceptical believer. You know, it has to be firm evidence for me. You know, people will send me pictures of orbs and constantly, and I'm just sending them messages back. This is dust. This is moisture. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not your deceased grandfather returning from the grave. This is a picture of lens flare. So please, you know, do some research on the thing. I'm not being rude, but this is normal. You know, this is normal normal practice.
Sure.
But no, early days, I used to do a lot of traveling for my job, a bit of a sales rep, sales executive in the oil and gas sector. And I used to do a lot of traveling. So I used to go to a lot of haunted hotels. I would book my hotel based around the history of the area and also the actual building itself where I was booking, because a lot of these hotels, I'm not sure what it's like in the States, but a lot of these hotels are converted chapels, places of rest, pubs, you know, especially the chain ones. So there's a lot of history, a lot of residual energies in these buildings. So I always used to look for the most, you know, there was a former funeral parlour that I stayed in the once in Aberdeenshire in Scotland. And the one night I was, just reading up on a few things, doing my work. And it must have been about 12:30. And all I could describe was like hooves, horses' hooves, coming through the room. So it was a bang.
Yeah.
The room began to shake. So I was thinking, it must be a local train, or it must be close to the train station. So the episode lasted for about 20 seconds. You know, but while it was happening, I was icy cold. All the hairs on my arms were up. I could smell, it was like a musky old smell. It was weird, but it was like a residual energy, whatever it was coming through my room. So the next day I have a look to see, you know, try and debunk what it was going on. And I knew it was an old funeral parlour. So I looked on Google Maps. Is there a train station? Am I on the bus route? Anything like that. But there's nothing there. No evidence to the contrary that I could debunk in relation to public transport. So I went to ask the receptionist, and she told me a little bit more about the layout of the hotel. And she said, yeah, where your bedroom is on the former stables, where they would the horse-drawn carriages would pull the coffins from. So I had to try to link the two. You know, did I get a residual playback of an incident of a horse bolting or a funeral procession? I don't know, but that was one of the many freaky incidents on my travels around as a rep. But yeah, it was quite, that always stays with me. I always carry that around with me as a pretty one I couldn't debunk.
And that's an interesting one to think about, the dynamics of what you heard, because when you kind of break it down and you think about residual hauntings or even a conscious type haunting, you think about the people and the emotions of the humans that were involved and what kind of impact that was made. You're hearing the horses. Horses, I'm sure, are completely unaware that they're loading up bodies, you know, in the back of the stable. They just know go or don't go. They're not, I'm sure, like, you know, doing an inventory check of what they're pulling. So, you don't think like, well, what is the energy here? What are we getting that from? Is it from the animals in that case? Is it just the collective energy from those around that were witnessing this, and then the actual scene that they were witnessing, and that's replaying itself? What are your thoughts on that specific scenario with what you were experiencing?
Okay, well, obviously, being an investigator, paranormal investigator and researcher for so long, I believe in a theory called stone tape theory. Not sure if you guys have got or have heard of it over there. It's where the fabric of a building, for example, granite or limestone, etc., can be used in theory as some kind of taping mechanism. So, for example, you know, where you're taping what we're taping on some media this evening, or mm-hmm. the old style tapes, cassettes.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that the material foundations of building can actually capture these energies and then play them back in certain atmospherics or environmental states. Mm-hmm. So that's what may explain why a lot of manifestations, apparitions are seen in thunderstorms and windy weather, mm-hmm. because I think that the energies created can interact with these materials and play back just like a tape mm-hmm. can, you know, or an MP4 file now can play back.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a lot more to that than can meet the eye that we know about.
And that's interesting because it's really a simple way of looking at it. But I think sometimes we go more complex than we need to. I mean, if you didn't know what a cassette tape was, and there's probably half of our audience who still doesn't know what a cassette tape is. But those of us who know what a cassette tape is, or a VHS tape or a reel or whatever, you know, those were magnetic mediums. And if you didn't know what they were and you handed it to somebody and said, the last hour of our conversation is on this thing right here. They'd be like, how is that even possible? Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But then you have the medium to play it back, being the tape player or the VCR or whatever, and boom, it's there. So it's almost like the cassette tape or the magnetic medium is the building, and then the player ends up being the atmosphere at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And also you're depending on how open you are, if you have some spiritual skills, you know, which I spoke about, mediumship skills, mm-hmm. the more resounding that experience would be, I presume. You know, even to the shut off skeptic, I do believe residual energies can interfere with them in any way. You know, the amount of skeptics I've met during my career is the, you know, and they've sat with me in cold spots and they've actually felt the energy. Now, has the energy come from me, or is the energy actually from this set cold spot that they're feeling, or the interacting with spirit? But they will not deny the experience they're having in relation to the feeling and the sensation. So I can't think of residual energy would still play back to a skeptic or a non-believer that way.
Mm-hmm. When you're investigating a situation or a location or something of that nature, is it evident to you early on if something is residual or if something is conscious?
You get a mixture depending on where you are. That's where the skilled mediums, you know, I'm a sensitive, but I'm never an intuitive one. I always take a medium around with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anybody can pick up on spirit, anybody at all. It's just the way, and if you accept it or not. So yeah, to differentiate residual on site and intelligent, well, the intelligence will speak for itself in relation to responding to your requests or interacting with your equipment on requests, whereas the residual will, it's very hard to time. You know, there's a case that I worked on where this same manifestation would appear every fortnight at around 8:45 every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So every 2 weeks we was on site with our cameras, etc. And that led to me believing, because it kept showing itself the same. So it was like it was a replay of some kind. So we set up with our cameras, et cetera, and our equipment. And do you think we got a sniff after 6 visits, 2 months? Nothing at all. And then the week we didn't turn up, it happened again. So is that intelligent or is that residual? Because it was intelligent enough to know that it was being filmed.
Exactly. And that's the question, because Well, it may appear to be very residual and just like it's replaying itself. Why did it not do it when somebody was intentionally watching?
I think there's a lot more to it than we know. This is a taboo subject that we deal with, spirits, you know, the afterlife. It's something that we're not meant to know about. And I, the higher powers that be, you know, the creator, it's a secret that nobody, that we should not know. So are there unwritten laws, you know, that you're not allowed to show and obey our demands? I do think there's a big taboo for sure from the creator, and we shouldn't really be tampering with it. You know, but I've had discussions with priests, etc., in relation to what we do, and he warned us not to. You know, something you shouldn't do. Like, virtually, it's a sin to communicate with the past over ones. But I argue the case as well. We're giving messages and help to grieving people. Mm-hmm. We're as I said, mentioned earlier about children and settling their mental state in relation to what they're dealing with or may have experienced. It's a natural thing. So we are doing some good. So, you know, it wasn't a heated discussion with the priest, but the priest was very much anti what we was doing because of it being a taboo and possibly a sin. Yeah. So,
which is an interesting thing in itself when you talk about it. If someone views it as a sin or something of that nature, or just doesn't believe in it, period. You know, if they say, well, my religion or this, that's not real. It addresses it, especially in Christianity, it addresses it as a thing. It says, yeah, don't do this, but it addresses it as something. If it wasn't possible, if it didn't exist, it wouldn't be addressed. And
you're right, Jeff.
And so it's like, it's saying, yeah, you can, but don't.
Look at Jesus after the crucifixion, he came back, didn't he? He came back from death. So in theory, it's the Holy Ghost. So why mention it in scriptures?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of that where it's like this. There's evidence, you know, of paranormal activity. I mean, there's so many things where it's like, if that happened today, everyone would freak the hell out because if it's caught on camera, it's like, oh, you did what? And So tell me more about, as you had this interest, you got more and more into it. Where did this begin in terms of investigating things for you? Was it just kind of you going out and seeing what you could find? Did you have a goal at the beginning or a mindset?
Well, obviously with the days of YouTube, when YouTube first appeared, I got kind of into the creative side that in relation to trying to learn about social media, you know, and using the YouTube channels to record some of my memories and some of the areas and locations we've been to. Now, I'm not like you, Tony. You know, I'm not a whiz on social medias and YouTube. You know, but I can put the basics together. So we do record a lot of the cemeteries locations we're privileged to visit. So it's like a memory scrapbook for me. So we put it on our YouTube channel, and it's something we can tap into. As I said, the photographic video scrapbook of our encounters. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, that's what made me modern times trying to getting into it all. But the main reason why I do what I do now, apart from the spirit rescue element and helping people, is that I get so many curious people like myself, the younger generation, asking me questions. You know, do you get scared? And what's the number one standout incident? Have you seen an apparition? So there's all these curious monkeys out there, all these people that need, you know, educating or want the experience. So that's kind of a passion, is to keep the legacy going, you know. So time's ticking on, and I would like to think that, you know, the younger generation can get involved as well, and not just necessarily based on the TV programs that get put out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the serious aspect of it and the morality of it, and, you know, trying to gain the proof, the evidence we all want, mm-hmm. you know. So Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think the main thing is to keep the legacy going and to answer and doubt a few fires, burning desires in people's minds. I think that's what keeps me going and keeps ticking over for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in a very interesting time right now where it's something where you look at this and go, either you accept this and believe it exists and kind of operate from that standpoint going forward, or you don't. Mm-hmm. Changing people's minds on it is not usually a great, goal to have because it won't work. Because people are so sad. Because the thing is, we're at a place where people won't accept reality half the time or facts of things that are easily explainable, where you can be like, look, the sky is blue. And they're like, my leader says it's green. So it's green. You're wrong. Like, no, that's blue. See, look at the color chart. That matches blue. You're wrong. So if we're having that sort of difficulty with just basic things, asking people to believe in something like this, if they already don't, I think is way too much of a bridge too far. But
sure.
But when you get into it, if you are already operating that way and you don't care what people think, it's like whatever. And you're out there trying to communicate. You personally, are you looking to find really good evidence, really undisputable things that you can show and say, I found this, this is amazing? Or are you personally more into the idea of making a difference in the ghostly world, if you will? You had mentioned like spirit rescue and things of that nature.
No, definitely both, Tony, for sure. If I can help anybody at all with any issues, then we're there. But yes, I definitely started out with the crazy burning fire of capturing a full manifestation on videotape, for sure, on camcorder. I wanted that full headless horseman or being that such, for sure. But it doesn't work like that after many, many, many years of trying. I definitely would like to get that. But again, it doesn't matter what you capture. If you capture a Class A EVP, mm-hmm. if you do get a strange mist, and everything gets debunked by everybody on social medias. So it doesn't matter what you capture. If you put it out there, get prepared to get bombarded with the trolls and the skeptics. So it's best, with my experience, it's best just to use that as your own experience, and you know what you witnessed, mm-hmm. and just to keep, and then you can formulate your own opinion that way. If you think you're going to get rich quick by putting a full apparition on, trust me, it's not going to happen. If you get put on a TV show, it's not going to happen. Everybody's just going to debunk it. It's best to keep it for your own experience and your own growth, your own spiritual growth, or your own belief. That's one thing I have learned.
Not so much the validation of others, but just your own satisfaction with what you're finding.
Exactly, because we've caught things in on sighting local castles, etc. Of royalty, a former royalty, Tudor era royalty on photograph, and people just say, "Oh, you've got somebody to dress up, etc., and stand in that doorway." But we know the difference, so. Yeah, it's best to keep it to yourself and formulate your own opinion on the afterlife.
Tell me about some of those moments that you've had being out in the field where you walked away at the end of the day and looking at it retrospectively go, that was pretty amazing. Like, that was not common that we experienced this or captured this or that.
Okay, so I've not got a top 10 moments, but I have got a lot. I've got a lot of blood curdling ones. I've got a lot of happy memories.
Let's go dark.
You want to go dark? Okay. Right. So, Woodchester Mansion in Gloucester in the UK. It's a Gothic mansion, and it was an unfinished Gothic mansion. The legend was that people would not. The workers would not complete the build of the mansion because of its hauntings there. And back then, the Victoriana age, nobody would complete the work. So it was just left as it was. It's a beautiful, spectacular building. It is something that has been used in films for Dracula movies. And it's also been used for the royalty programs that are aired over here in the UK about the royal family. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was there one evening. We was in the scullery area, which is next to the kitchen area, and it is renowned to be haunted by a black monk and a dark entity, mm-hmm. A monk not of the cloth, but a monk of ritual magic. So black cloak, dark cloak, can't see his face. And he glides around. He's omnipresent in this building, and he glides around the chapel area, the kitchen, the servants' quarters, and the scullery where we were. So there was three of us. We had the camera guy filming away. You had the other team member. He was recording EVPs. And then you had me, the the guinea pig stuntman, whatever you want to call him, standing in the entrance to the scullery, calling for him to come forward and to interact with our devices. Mm-hmm. So it was there about 5-10 minutes. It was a controlled experiment. So we had no, when we do an EVP blast, we call it electric voice phenomenon, for mm-hmm. those who don't know. So it's voice recorders. We have to keep perfectly still. You can't put your hands in your pockets because these voice recorders are that sensitive. You could pick up a gnat's fart from 100 meters away. So we have to be so careful what we do, and mm-hmm. especially to try and collect a Class A EVP. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, after 10 minutes of calling out to this monk saying, man of the cloth or blah, 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 the monk, can you please come forward and speak with us with love, light, and respect, etc.? Nothing. Dead. Played the voice recorder back. Absolutely nothing. We got home the next day. We all had body cameras on, and we all played back our body camera footage, and we all got the same voice about 5 minutes in, and it was a demonic voice, Class A, saying to me, come, walk through, crystal clear. It was right in front of me. The acoustics were right in front of me. I don't know why I didn't hear it with my voice, or none of us heard the direct voice, but on our cameras, all three cameras, we heard the words, come, walk through, like that. Mm-hmm. So it was enticing me to step out of the scullery into his particular area. I haven't a clue why, but those are the words we heard. It was an invite from the other side.
And you heard it, retrospectively, looking back at yes. the material. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily in real time where you could have been like, it says, come walk through. So yep. did you come walk through, I guess, is the question.
No, because I never heard it until obviously sure. got back. Now, this is because of the equipment.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, did you inadvertently come walk through without knowing that you were coming and walking through and it was telling you to do that?
No, thank God.
Yeah. It's like, oh, crap. That's why. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to us. I do often think back if what would have happened if I did, but no, I didn't for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was my guides or a protective layer that stopped me from doing it, but I don't think it would have been a nice experience if I did. But because our cameras were picking up a frequency that we can't hear with the human ear, that's why we didn't hear it directly, mm-hmm. I suppose. But it is a freaky voice, definitely a freakiest voice I've ever heard. I've heard of since then one of my colleagues on another team, they went to the same place, tried to recreate what we did, and they got nothing. But they had another experience with this entity. There's a confessional booth there, and they set up a similar experiment in the confessional booths. But they was doing the same thing. They had one person in the confessional booth, the others outside recording, etc. But they got on film some kind of mist coming into the confessional booth, and the culprit was sitting down, the guinea pig was sitting down, felt like they was having an out of body experience. They was in some kind of vortex. So yeah, it said it took them a good 5-6 minutes to come back and be grounded again. They had to have some spiritual work to bring them back to this plane. That was totally out of it for 5 or 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that the two cases were linked. I don't know, but that was in roughly the same area that took place. So yeah, that was one of my darker ones. But we attend quite a lot of ritual magic sites mm-hmm. as well, and we've had quite a lot of experiences there, Tony. So
yeah, and we can talk. I'm interested to talk about that here in just a second. I want to ask you, you know, kind of your opinion on what we just talked about with that the monk that seemed to mm-hmm. be dark energy. In your opinion, did that monk, you know, did he live there? Did he ever walk this earth, or is he a manifestation of something else?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. This particular entity wasn't a conjured spirit. I just know that there was ritualistic practices in that particular chapel, mm-hmm. and obviously that chapel is renowned for its darkness. And I don't know the full story as to why it was allowed. I'm not sure if it was the former owner was into it himself, because Victoriana UK was very, as I say, it's a Gothic build. Victorians back then were into such practices. The paranormal was a pastime for the Victorians. The Ouija board was rife, and etc. But the rich and the well-to-do would have followed an occult path. Lots of them did. There's all, you know, the Masonic orders, etc., were all into this. And I wouldn't say it was in relation to a Luciferian or satanistic, but there was dark magic. So was it witchcraft? Was it, you know, was it all these secret orders getting together? But I think that this particular monk, we call him the monk. He's probably not a good name to call him. He's perhaps like a priest or a high priest or something, just will not let go in the afterlife. And I think he's there as some kind of protector. You know, has he been left here to protect mm-hmm. to protect that chapel? Has he? I don't know. And he likes to scare investigators, researchers. Perhaps that's probably my theory on it. But I think he's more of a high priest type thing rather than the monk. He's just been given the name monk because people see him with this cloak and this hood. So, yeah.
That wraps up the first portion of our conversation with Russ in part two. Did the demonic monk Russ talked about ever walk on Earth? What kind of dangers does Russ face when investigating something evil? How common is it for something paranormal to follow a person home? And what makes something truly evil? Does it have to be demonic to be evil? Those questions and more in part two. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Simply go to patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click become a Gravekeeper. Your support will get you access to all of our bonus episodes, all of our part twos, the advanced episodes, and all of it ad free. So you can binge away on the show commercial free episode after episode. Patreon.com/thegravetalks. Until next time. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.